traffic is stuck and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place. Someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful.
Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show. My name's Neil De Silva. It's Monday. It's the 8th of April 2019. And I hope you've all had a great weekend and you are all keeping in great health. On today's show, we are going to have a chat about fatty liver disease, both the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic conditions of fatty liver disease. We're also going to have a chat a bit later on in the show about antibiotics and things to just be careful of if you are ever prescribed antibiotics. And in about 20 minutes, we're going to be interviewing our special guest of the day, James Dand. And James is an empowerment songwriter and an international speaker. And it's great to have you on the show today, James.
Great to be here. Thanks, Neil.
Thank you for coming on. And we're going to find out more about what James does in about 20 minutes or so. So before we kick the show off, a quick disclaimer. The purpose of the Health Matters radio show is to provide you with competent information on the subject matters covered and to help educate and inform you in ways that you might be able to improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I'm not engaged in providing medical advice and the content in the show should not be treated as a substitute for such. If you have any concerns about your health or you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional first, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 or speaking with your local pharmacist. All the content in the show is provided for general information only, and I encourage you to do your own research. And the show is based on my knowledge, my research, my experience, and often my opinion, and I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the show. So, on to fatty liver disease. It's a condition that is becoming a growing problem, particularly in this country, in the UK. Because there are links with obesity, and obviously in this country we have a growing obesity problem. So we're going to talk for about 10-15 minutes or so about what it is, what it does, and potentially ways that you can reduce the problem if you are in the high-risk category. So most people know what the liver is, okay? The liver is the largest organ in your body, and it's kind of the body's processing organ. So it helps your body to digest food, it helps to store energy, and it helps as a detoxification organ, and it helps to remove poisons. And actually, a healthy liver should contain little or no fat. So up to about 2.5% by weight is the acceptable level of fat in the liver. And fatty liver very simply means that there are unusually high fatty deposits in the liver itself. Now, in the early stages, this is not particularly harmful and can quite easily be reversed. But as the disease progresses, it does lead to inflammation and scarring and also decreased liver function. And that's when it becomes a lot more serious. Now, it's estimated that around 25% of the people in the world have this condition called non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. But as the rates of obesity increase and type 2 diabetes increase, and also high cholesterol levels increase, then there is a correlation of the rate of increase of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And it's estimated that 1 in 3 people in the UK are at the early stages of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, but they don't yet realise it. And actually, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease is the most common chronic liver disorder in the UK. But as I mentioned, in the early stages, you often don't realise you've got it unless it's picked up as part of another test. But when the high levels of fat in your liver When these do increase, these also increase the risk of other problems like diabetes and also heart attacks and strokes. But the good news is if it's detected and managed at an early stage, it is actually possible to stop it getting worse, and potentially you can reverse it as well. So as I mentioned, there's two different types. There's non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and there are, and then there is just normal fatty liver disease, which is caused by the consumption of alcohol. And 30 years ago, I found this quite an interesting fact. 30 years ago, advanced fatty liver disease was so rare that there wasn't even a medical term for it. So we didn't have a problem 30 years ago, but now one in three people have the condition, which is quite scary. So non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, as the name suggests, is fatty liver disease that's not related to heavy alcohol usage. So in simple fatty liver, you have fat in your liver, but no inflammation and no liver cell damage. As it then progresses, you start to get inflammation and the liver cells do become damaged. And this actually impairs the liver's ability to work properly. Remember what I said, the liver is your body's processing plant. It's your body's detoxification organ. When your liver packs up, you're in some trouble. Now, when it gets advanced, then that inflammation and that liver cell damage can lead on to things like scarring and fibrosis, and it can also lead on to cirrhosis, and in the more serious cases, it can be a precursor to liver cancer as well. Alcoholic fatty liver disease, on the other hand, is actually caused directly by heavy alcohol use. So when you consume alcohol, your liver breaks down most of the alcohol that you drink so that, those toxins can be removed from the body. But in the process of breaking down the alcohol, it can generate harmful substances. And it's these substances that can damage liver cells, promote inflammation, and weaken your body's natural defenses. And the more alcohol that you drink, the more damage you do to your liver. And alcoholic fatty liver disease is the earliest stage of alcohol-related liver disease. That then progresses on to things like hepatitis and cirrhosis. So with non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, there are four stages. So as I mentioned, there's simple fatty liver. So this is a largely harmless buildup of fat in the liver cells. And this is often diagnosed when tests are carried out for a different reason. So one in three people in the UK have this condition but don't realise they have this condition because it isn't really having much of an impact on their life. This then progresses to a condition called NASH, which is non-alcoholic steatohepatitis. And this is a more serious form of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And this is when the liver becomes inflamed. If this is kept unchecked, this can lead on to fibrosis, which is persistent inflammation, which causes scar tissue. And it also damages the liver and the blood vessels supplying the liver. And then the final stage is cirrhosis. And this is the most severe stage. And this is actually when the liver shrinks and becomes scarred and lumpy. And at this point, this damage is permanent and irreversible. So up to that point, if you've got non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, with a change in diet and a change in lifestyle, potentially you can reverse it. Once you get to cirrhosis, you're in a position where that cannot be reversed. You have a seriously impaired liver function, and the only way to deal with that is often by liver transplant. So could you be at risk of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease? Well, researchers are not 100% sure what causes non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. However, there are some correlations between certain conditions and certain lifestyles and the onset of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And this includes things like type 2 diabetes. So if you've got type 2 diabetes or you're in the pre-diabetic window, then that can be a precursor to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. If you're overweight or obese, you're likely to have a poor diet, and in turn, that poor diet can lead to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. If you consume a diet that's heavy in added sugars, so not sugars that occur naturally in the food that we eat, but processed foods and foods are unnaturally sweetened, shall we say, particularly with non-natural fruit sugars. So we've covered fructose on previous shows, and actually a high level of sweetened products that contain artificially added fructose or high fructose corn syrup, that can actually be a precursor to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. If you're middle-aged, but also children can get it these days as well. If you've got a high level of cholesterol and triglycerides, that can be a problem. If you have high blood pressure, and also if you smoke, that can be a contributor to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. As you would expect, alcoholic fatty liver disease is caused directly by drinking. So that is the single cause. So if you are a heavy drinker, particularly if you've been drinking a lot of alcohol for a long period of time and you haven't been checked recently, then potentially you should go and have a chat with your doctor. And that risk for heavy drinkers increases if you are a woman, and also if you are obese or overweight, then that can significantly increase the risk of alcoholic fatty liver disease. As I mentioned, there are no symptoms in the early stages, but actually as it starts to progress, a bit like with diabetes, you know, there's about anything up to 1 million people that have got type 2 diabetes at the moment but don't realize it because they're not getting the symptoms. Well, fatty liver disease has symptoms, but only in the more advanced stages. And those symptoms include things like feeling constantly tired. If you have a dull or aching pain in the top right of your abdomen, so that, you know, the lower right side of your rib cage, that's kind of where the liver sits. If you have a dull or aching pain there, that can be a symptom of undiagnosed fatty liver disease. If you have unexplained weight loss, if you have weakness, and also, excuse me a second, if you get the more advanced forms of fatty liver disease, then you get things like jaundice. And this is at a point when the liver function is seriously impaired, or actually a yellowness in the whites of the eyes. That can be a problem as well. So it does have symptoms. It's not just about, I'm getting these aches and pains, or I feel tired because I'm getting older. If you're getting these aches and pains, or you're fatigued, or specifically you have this pain in the top right of your abdomen, then please don't ignore it. Go and get it checked out by your doctor. Often doctors will recommend weight loss for the treatment of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and that weight loss can help to reduce the fat in the liver, and it can also help inflammation, reduce down inflammation and reduce down fibrosis as well. There may be medications that are causing the non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and again your doctor will be best placed to advise you as to what you should do with those medications. But at the moment there are no approved medications to treat non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. But the pharmaceutical companies are spending billions of pounds at the moment to find a drug to treat non-alcoholic fatty liver disease because they see it as an opportunity to make major profits. And there are a few new drugs that are in the final phase of clinical trials at the moment. And the pharmaceutical companies estimate that treating fatty liver disease related to obesity could be worth anything up to £30 billion a year. So it's a massive opportunity for them to just put a drug out onto the market to reduce down fatty liver, when in fact the treatment for fatty liver naturally is to lose weight and change your diet. And like many drugs, they're likely to have side effects that cause other issues. So my professional opinion is deal with fatty liver or non-alcoholic fatty liver disease naturally by sorting out your diet and your lifestyle. And as you would expect, with alcoholic fatty liver disease, the way to deal with that is to simply stop drinking. So lose some weight, improve your diet, try and have a balanced diet, cut down on the sugars, cut down on the unnaturally occurring fructose and sweeteners. Increase your consumption of fruits in their natural form. Stop drinking fruit juices. Eat more vegetables. Eat more protein and healthy carbohydrates. Keep unsaturated fats to a good level in your diet, but cut down on saturated fats. Cut down on sugar. Cut down on salt. Eat smaller portions of food. That also helps as well. And Don't be fooled. Having sugar sweetened drinks or diet drinks are actually a healthier choice because they cause problems as well. So the liver converts fructose into fat. So if you consume too much sugar and too much fructose in its unnatural form, then that contributes to fatty liver as well. And exercise. So many people don't exercise enough. And government guidelines suggest that 150 minutes a week of moderate intensity activity is the goal to aim for. So that would include things like walking or cycling. So try and get some exercise into your diet. And if you are, into your routine. And if you are a smoker, then there are so many health benefits to giving up smoking, one of which is reducing the risk of fatty liver disease as you get older. So there you go, fatty liver disease, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease caused predominantly by diet and lifestyle, and alcoholic fatty liver disease, which is caused by the excess consumption of alcohol. I hope you find that information useful. And as usual, if you'd like to contact me for further advice on those on those topics, then please do so through my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. Okay, so after the break, we are going to go on to our special guest interview of the morning. We're going to have a chat with James Dand, and we're going to find out more about what James does. But to take us there, we have a song from the 80s, and it's Simple Minds and Alive and Kicking. You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, on Monday, the 8th of April, 2019. A quick reminder of the show's social media feeds on Twitter. You can contact me via Twitter at Health Radio Show, and you can follow the show's Twitter feed. On Facebook, if you search the Health Matters Radio Show, then you can follow the show's Facebook page. And you'll be able to listen again to this show and all previous shows on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. And you'll be also able to listen to the show on the show's iTunes podcast as well. So simply go to iTunes, type in the Health Matters Radio Show, and listen to this show and all previous shows. And please do subscribe to the podcast as well. So a quick shout out for Victoria Sheridan. Victoria is a good friend of mine, and she runs the Biz Buzz Network, and she has a networking event coming up this Wednesday, the 10th of April, from 10 a.m. until 12 midday. It's at the Red Libbits Golf and Country Club in Manor Lane, Ash, which is near Longfield, postcode TN15 7HT. The cost of the meeting is just £3, and that includes tea and coffee. And she has mentioned juice, but I can't possibly make a comment about juice. But what's really good as well is they have a special guest speaker for the networking meeting, which is Paul Andrews. And for those of you that know Paul, you know what an inspiration he is. He's a very successful entrepreneur. He is the host of the Business Bunker radio show. He's also one of the owners of Channel Radio as well. And Paul's going to be talking about how to network better and more effectively grow your business. So that's the BizBuzz Network this coming Wednesday, the 10th of April, from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. If you'd like to find out more, please go to Facebook. And if you search the BizBuzz Network, then you'll be able to find details of the networking event, or otherwise contact Victoria Sheridan directly, or you can contact me and I will point you in the right direction. Okay, so coming on to our guest interview of the morning today, as I mentioned, we have James Dand, and James is an empowerment songwriter and international speaker. So I'm intrigued to find out more about what James does. And good morning, James. It's great to have you on this morning.
Great to be here.
And I'm really fascinated about your background, because it's quite, I think diverse is complementary, but diverse.
Yes.
And you know, to follow your career over the last sort of 15 to 20 years it's been fascinating to read through some of the notes that you've given me. So I'm really intrigued to find out more about what you do, and I'm really looking forward to the interview. So James, let's start with your background before we talk about what you're doing now. Let's talk about your journey from the early 2000s up until the current time. So, you know, tell us about your background.
Yeah, well, I was always very much into sport and health. So I got myself a sports science degree, and then I studied an occupation of personal training. Mm. I had my own personal training business, and also became a training provider of different personal training qualifications as well.
Okay.
And also did lecturing. So lecturing of sports science at college and university programs, and also do still a couple of days of that as we stand at the minute as well.
Okay.
So that was my background, really. It was really into sports science, health, fitness.
And how did you get on with being a trainer's trainer?
Yeah, that was really fun. Mm. Because obviously there's a lot of people out there that want to have a career, something that they're passionate about. So mm-hmm. It was, yeah, good to be able to help them actually achieve that. And some of those were students that I'd taught within a college, and yeah, then also got them qualified so that they can actually go out and get a job in the industry as well. So that was rewarding.
Yeah, brilliant. And we can't not mention this, but there was a period of time when you was in a band.
Yes, definitely.
So tell us a little bit more about the band and kind of where that took you.
Yeah, so that was over a decade now. So that was before the days of YouTube.
Scary.
So yeah, that's
how time flies.
And yeah, we got a band together. I think I've always had a passion for music, and I got to the stage of really just needing to do something. Mm. And it was around that time there was a bit of a resurgence of the mod music, the 1960s mod music, and that was one of the genres that I was influenced by and really liked. So we started a mod band, and we, you know, did some gigs and got offered a record contract, just a minor record contract for one of the songs.
Yeah.
We got to actually feature on a national release alongside, it was a charity release, and it was alongside some people such as Ronnie Wood from the Rolling Stones and Reg Presley from the Troggs. Steve Craddock, Ocean Colour Scene. So it was good. And all we were doing, we were sort of there as part of the chorus, if you like.
Mm.
But it was a, you know, a great experience.
Yeah.
But like a lot of good things, you know, we sort of found that we'd reached the end of the road. We were going in different directions and we split up. And around that time, I was also starting to look to get a family going, get married, get a house, you know, that kind of thing. So
yeah.
Music took a back burner for quite a while for me, unfortunately, but then it started eating away at me, and that's where I decided to do something about it again.
So music for you was and still is a passion.
Definitely, absolutely, yeah. I kind of feel, you know, with passions, they're sort of there, they're inside you, they're part of your DNA, and
yeah.
You can try and run away from them, but they're always really there.
And people can tell whether something's a passion or just a vocation. You know, someone's just doing a job and they're going through emotions because they need to earn some money, that's one thing. But, and I see it time after time with my guests that come on the show, there is a common theme of them having a passion for what they do.
Yeah.
And even, and often, even if they weren't earning or not earning huge amounts of money doing what they do, they would still do what they do because they have that passion, that mission in life that we spoke about.
Definitely. I think that's part of health. You know, if you're talking about holistic health, it's important that people have the happiness, and that happiness, part of that is doing what they enjoy doing. It's actually one of the regrets of the dying. You know, there's been studies of this and they found that the major regret of the dying is that they wish they'd had the courage to do what they wanted to do, you know, so be passionate and follow their passions.
I think having that passion is really important, and having that mission as well, you know, having that legacy. It's
definitely
about, you know, what you leave behind, and, you know, did you make a dent in the world? Did you leave the world in a slightly better place than when you first found it? So you're in the fitness industry up until around 2014?
Yes, yeah, around that time.
And what kind of happened then? What was the catalyst that made you think, actually, I don't want to necessarily pursue this to the level that I'm pursuing it at the moment?
Well, again, the fitness side of things, the health, the sports science, it is a passion of mine.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd reached a point of just feeling a little bit unfulfilled, really. And I knew that I needed to make a change. But at that stage, I really didn't have the mindset to really do what I truly wanted to do. So I ended up taking a managerial position at the college that I was working at, which was very good in many reasons.
Yeah.
It gave me that experience and it gave me that new challenge. But as I look back, so I'm grateful for that, but as I look back, I sort of then realised that really I was going for the second best thing, if you like, you know. So what in later years, I started working a lot more on my mindset and started to realise that I'd been given into all those limiting beliefs and all those fears. And I really reached a point where I just gave myself permission to do what I really wanted to do.
Yeah.
So there was a few years of me being a little bit in no man's land, if you like.
I remember reading a quote once, and I think it was along the lines of, imagine what you could achieve if you weren't scared of people's opinions. Or
definitely
something along those lines. We, you know, we have that passion inside us. We have that, you know, we have that desire to do something, but we're so scared of what people might think.
That's it, definitely.
And actually having the opinion sometimes, what's the worst that could happen? It just spurs you on to, you know, and like you say, you can't get the time back. When you're on your deathbed, you can't rewind the clock.
That's it.
And it's about achieving what you want to achieve.
That's it, being true to yourself.
So you mentioned, obviously, there were some changes in your life, starting a family, getting married. So bring us up to date. What other reasons were there for getting into doing what you're doing now?
Well, I was feeling a little bit lost and I thought, shall I go back into the fitness industry? Because I was sitting in some meetings, feeling a bit unfulfilled. So I decided to take a holistic lifestyle coaching course, which was a level up from what I'd done before.
Okay.
And I opened the manual. It was day one of the course and I opened the training manual and they were looking at some questionnaires of different areas of health.
Mm.
So there was the questionnaire on diet and the questionnaire on exercise. And one of the questionnaires was about happiness. And it was that questionnaire, and in particular, a certain question that changed the direction of my life. And that question was, if you were to die today, would you die knowing that you have lived your life fully? And that was a big question. That's a powerful question.
That's quite deep, isn't it?
Mm. That is. That really is. You know, so I reflected on that and I actually spoke to the trainer at the end of the course and we had a conversation. And what she sort of said to me is, you need to be doing songwriting, because that was my real passion. You need to be doing songwriting in some way, maybe to make money, maybe not to make money, but you just need to be doing it because, again, it's part of your soul. It's part of who you are. And, and again, I wasn't really doing that. And for me, that was like a little bit of a light switch just went on. I just kind of opened up the blinkers a little bit and thought, okay, well, you know, maybe I could do that.
Yeah.
And as I got into personal development and I started working a lot more on my mindset, I realized that that was the direction that I wanted to go and felt I needed to go. So that is the direction that I did go in.
And I'm sure there's many people out there that feel the same way. They you know, they don't feel fulfilled in their job. Perhaps they feel they've got an inner purpose, but they're not able to express it, or they're too scared to follow that route, or whatever it might be. And I think it takes a lot of bravery to go, do you know what, I'm going to do this because it's my passion. Because often we are scared to give our jobs up. And in my opinion, the only benefit to being in a job is regular income. Once you've stepped outside that and you realise actually you were just in a job, you were making someone else wealthy, and suddenly you're in control of your destiny, you've got control over how you spend your time, how you spend your day. And as we mentioned about legacy, you know, it's about leaving something behind to say, actually, you know, hi world, I did exist, I was here. And the songwriting's really interesting because there are so many good songwriters out there that make so little money, but they have that passion. And I think, I'm sure you'd agree, for many people, songwriting is quite cathartic.
Yep. Like you say, there's so many people that have that passion. They want to be creative, but they don't know what to do with it. And, you know, there's lots of people just listening to music without actually paying for it nowadays. It's so easy.
Yeah.
And that was really me. I sort of stepped out. I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. And I started to be pulled towards something of not just being a songwriter and writing, you know, majority of songs are probably about love, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Either gained or lost.
Yeah.
But I decided, right, I wanted to write something that meant something to me. So I started to write with an empowerment theme. So a lot of my music is about, again, the fact that you can achieve your dreams. You are good enough, that you can overcome your fears. Mm-hmm. So it's that emphasis. That's the lyrical content. And I sort of thought, well, I find it easy to write in that way because it's coming from something that's true to me and also could well help other people. And I've actually got a triple album coming out and there's various people contributing to that. And it's interesting because I've given some songs to some of those people, some of those singers.
Right.
And I've had some of those singers say, do you know what? That song, it's like it's written for me. That song is perfect for me. Mm. So again, by them singing it, them performing it, it just, again, I think it really helps them along with the journey. And that's what it's about. It's about inspiring people, empowering people, motivating people.
And that is incredibly powerful.
Definitely.
Being able to take a subject and actually put it into a song, but make people or help people to relate to it. And, you know, there are songs out there, I'm sure the listeners would agree, that you feel, you know, that song is about me, it's about my life, it's about my experience, it's about what I've been through. And I think being able to relate to songs gives them a whole new meaning.
Yeah, definitely.
And there are so few songs about personal development, about empowerment, about overcoming fears. As you say, and it's quite interesting you mentioned it, because lots of songs are about love.
Yeah.
And definitely. I've never really thought about it until you mentioned it, love gained and love lost.
Yeah, it's a common theme, isn't it? Because once again, most people can relate to that. at some point in their life about love gained or love lost.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
There are other themes, alternative themes yeah. that people can write about. And again, it won't attract everybody,
yeah.
but it will attract that certain target audience that resonates with it.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So from your own point of view, it must be, what's the word? It must be incredibly fulfilling to know that you're putting these songs out and they are helping other people. People are relating to them. They're inspiring people. They're motivating people. They're empowering people. From your own personal point of view, that must be great.
Definitely. For me, that kind of completed what I was working towards, because, like I say, I was feeling unfulfilled, so wanted to get into songwriting, and that achieved a certain amount by me being able to write songs.
Mm-hmm.
But then to kind of fully complete it, I write a song, something that means something to me and can help other people, so that I feel like I'm giving a positive contribution to the world.
Yeah.
And that really was that final tick box for me, if you like.
And you are giving a piece of yourself as well, aren't you?
Yeah, that's really important to me. I like to create.
Yeah.
I like to create. And when I was in the band, again, we did our own songs. So covers are fine, tribute acts are fine, but, you know, I like to create something new.
Unique.
And you've mentioned the word legacy
yeah.
a couple of times, you
yeah.
know, and I think that's it. We have the ability to create something
mm-hmm.
that nowadays can you know, stand the test of time and can live on past us.
Definitely, definitely. So let's talk a little bit more about the other things you do as well as the empowering music. So tell us a little bit about the mindset coaching and the public speaking that you do.
Yeah, so the mindset, like I say, it was a natural progression. I'd obviously done a lot of training and coaching, and, you know, I've trained thousands of people in various capacities throughout my lifetime. So for me, again, being able to coach people through something that I've gone through, that's the important thing, because I found myself, Neil, although I'd achieved quite a few things in various capacities, I was still someone that suffered from low self-esteem, not feeling good enough. And when I became aware of this and worked on it, I just started to feel so much better. And when you experience that in your life, you just want to help other people through it.
Mm.
So that's what I now do. I now help people with their mindset. And again, it's all about them making them feel good enough, making them feel worthy enough, deserving enough, able to follow their passion. I actually help some people with their health, because again, you've said about the importance of exercise, diet, etc. But often the education is there. They can just listen to your show and get the education, but it's the mind that needs to be controlled a little bit for them to make those decisions as to, you know, what foods do I go for? Do I go to the gym today or not?
Mm.
You know, it's all a mindset thing. So I help some people with that. And I'm just starting to get into helping musicians now, because again, there's got to be lots of other people who are very similar to me. They've got a passion, but they're not doing anything about it because either they don't know what to do or fear is taking over. So I'm now helping people through that process as well.
And actually the I have indirect experience with the music industry, and the music industry can be quite brutal.
Oh, definitely.
As well.
Definitely. Yeah.
And I think helping people if they want to stay in their industry, which is very much in my view a bit of a piranha pit, having the mental strength to not just survive, but try to thrive as well.
Definitely. Yeah, that's really important. The good news in a way is that the industry is changing because of technology now.
Yeah.
It's quite possible to be successful and make a decent wage without having a big record contract or anything like that. So
yeah,
it's looking for those opportunities, being aware of them, but then having the mindset to take action, follow through, be resilient and achieve.
And the point you made about helping other people, that is also a common theme that I see with my guests on the show, is they've been through something, whatever that something is, and they found maybe not answers or solutions, but they found ways to deal with the problem that they faced. And now they're in a position that, having gone through that, they want to help other people. And that, I would say, pretty much without exception, has been a common theme to every guest that's come on the show. They have a passion for what they do. And what they do relates to an experience that they went through themselves, and they now want to be in a position to help other people, me included.
Definitely.
And I think that authenticity comes through.
That's it. Authenticity is really important. Mm. And really, you've hit upon the main motivators. One can be pleasure. They enjoy what they're doing. They're passionate for it.
Yep.
But also the pain. The pain, if they've experienced some kind of trauma, pain, a low point in their life, it's that that can drive them towards that pleasure and towards helping other people away from that pain as well.
And I think it's good that you help people with low self-esteem, because that is a problem. I find I network a lot. I know a lot of people. And that feeling that people aren't good enough, there is a condition called, I'm sure you've heard of it, called imposter syndrome.
Yes.
Where people are really good at what they do and they're qualified to do what they do, but they still feel that they're not good enough.
That's it.
And, you know, that isn't a physical thing. That's getting into their mind and working with their mindset.
Yep.
To help them to deal with those problems.
Definitely. Often these things come from childhood. You know, they might have got told off when they were a youngster by their parents. It could be something at school. A bully told them they weren't good enough, or a teacher disciplined them in some way. And they created a story about not being good enough.
Mm.
You know, I can now, thinking back to my childhood, I can think of certain incidences where I might have picked up on that story, created a story, and then that story can run the rest of your life if you let it.
Mm.
But you have the opportunity to listen to that story or to actually crush it, really, get rid of it and do something.
And move forward.
Move forward.
So, James, tell me more about your plans for this year. You mentioned you've got your triple album coming out, which is called Empowerment Songs.
It is, yes.
Tell us more about that and also about the book that you're contributing to as well.
Yes. Okay. I haven't really said much about that.
No.
So that's kind of a new thing for people. So with the Empowerment Songs, it's a triple album. And I just got the idea last year. I said, right, I want to write an album of songs and I want to get other people helping. Because again, so that, you know, it's all about collaboration. It's all about working together. I consider myself to be more of a songwriter than a singer, so I wanted to get other people involved. So I've got over 20 people from around the world actually involved as singers, as musicians, etc. That'll be out at some point. I'm not quite sure the date, but again, that, you know, that's the themed album. That's the personal development album. When people listen to that, they're going to be motivated, inspired, but empowered. But also, the more they listen to the words, the more it goes into their heads, and the more positive and better they're going to feel, and more likely to take action. So really excited about that.
Yep.
And yes, I do have a book as well, and that will be news for some people. I don't know when that's released. It's not my book, purely my book. I'm contributed to a chapter, so I've written a chapter, and that is a personal development book. It's called Decide to Thrive.
Okay.
And it's very much targeted, again, at people with mental health problems. We're actually raising money for a mental health charity as well as part of that. And again, I won't sort of say too much more about that. I don't know when it's going to be released, but it will be this year. But that should be an excellent book, because there's some great authors and people who are really doing some good things in the world.
And about your coaching business?
Yes. So again, I'm available to coach people on their mindset. I'm really working at two type of people at the minute. One is the person who maybe hasn't got the health they want. They've joined the gym. They're trying to eat some better foods, but really, you know, they haven't got the mindset to keep those positive habits. I'm working with them, and also just starting to work with musicians out there as well. People who want to do something as a musician or songwriter, helping them through the mindset, and also giving a bit of my experience on things like branding and marketing and all things that I've learnt over the last couple of years as well.
No, it's really interesting. Thank you, James. Really, really fascinating to find out more about your background, but that passion, and that desire to change the world, your mission, and your authenticity really does shine through, without a doubt. So let's just recap at this point. So you've got songwriting, you've got your speaking and training and coaching services, and you can do personalized music creation for businesses.
Yes, that's something else I'm also doing as well. So there's some businesses that want a piece of music, or they might have an event and they want a full song to come onto stage to, or something like that. And I've written for some international trainers again, and that's going well.
Brilliant.
Getting some good feedback.
Brilliant. So if people want to get in contact with you, James, what are your contact details? What are your preferred methods of contact?
Yeah, so find me on social media. Facebook's always good. You can find me. I'm on LinkedIn, or you can have a look at my current website, although things may be changing, but current website is www.empowermentsongzone.com. So that's empowermentsongzone.com. And you can find an email address there as well, info at empowermentsongzone.com. But yeah, please connect with me, because I like to be connected with other positive people who are trying to make a change.
Yes.
You know, that's we all work well off of each other and other positive people. So feel free to connect with any questions.
Definitely. And what I'll do as well, as part of the show's post-promotion, I will put your contact details up on social media in my posts as well.
That's amazing.
But I'm really grateful for you coming on the show. Thank you, James. It's been really great to find out more about your background and obviously what you're doing now and your plans to change the world. It's been great.
Thank you, Neil.
Thank you, James. After the break, we are going to have a quick chat about antibiotics. But to take us there, we have a song by The Script.
Going back to the corner where I first saw you. Gonna camp in my sleeping bag, I'm not gonna move. Got some words on cardboard, got your picture in my head, saying, if you see this girl, can you tell her where I am? Some try to hand me money, but they don't understand. I'm not broke, I'm just a broken-hearted man. I know it makes no sense, but what else can I do? And how can I move on when I'm still in love with you? Cause if one day you wake up and find that you're missing me, and your heart sleeping bag, I'm not gonna move.
That was A Man Who Can't Be Moved by The Script. You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show on Monday, the 8th of April, 2019. I'm Neil De Silva. And a quick reminder of this show's social media feeds on Twitter, at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, search The Health Matters Radio Show. And you can listen again to this show and all previous shows on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk, and also on iTunes. You can follow the shows and subscribe to the show's iTunes podcast by searching The Health Matters Radio Show. Now, I don't often do self-promotion on the show, but I'm going to mention what I do. And I don't think in the 58 shows that I've done, I've actually ever actually said what I do. So I'm just going to, if you'll let me indulge myself for the next 30 seconds. People know me. I'm a nutritionist. I'm a type 2 diabetes specialist. I help people to lose weight without dieting. I help type 2 diabetics to manage their condition properly, potentially go into remission and reversal. Also run employee wellbeing schemes as well. So if you have employees and you want them to, you want to invest in their own health to improve productivity and profitability, then I also run employee schemes. I do go into schools, and at the moment I give my time for free in junior schools to go and educate junior school children about the dangers of sugar. So if you've got connections with head teachers or governors, and please put them in contact with me. I'll happily give my time at the moment for free to go and educate children. And also I give talks and presentations about nutrition and health related subjects. So again, if your business or your event wants a speaker to talk about health, then please do contact me. I feel a little bit uncomfortable doing self-promotion, but I never really mention it. And people ask me what I do, and there you go. That's what I do. So for the next few minutes, I'm going to talk about antibiotics. Now, we are in an age of antibiotics. I won't go into the history of antibiotics because, actually, and if you want to do your own research, the way antibiotics were developed is really fascinating. Obviously, we know Alexander Fleming came up with antibiotics, or he certainly discovered them. Suffice to say that antibiotics these days are lifesavers, but they are often overused in certain applications and certain countries. And if they're overused, they can cause some serious health issues. But don't get me wrong, I'm not a doctor. I'm not saying you should or you shouldn't take antibiotics. In some cases, they will save your life. In other cases, over-prescription is causing this thing that we know today as antibiotic resistance. But the key points here are to realise that actually antibiotics only fight bacterial infections, okay? So they do not fight viral infections. So if you have the flu or you have a cold, those conditions are generally not caused by a bacteria, they are caused by a virus. If you take antibiotics to fight the flu, not only will it not fight the flu, but it also cause other issues as well, including this condition called antibiotic resistance. So people that have bacterial infections will generally appear more acutely ill than if they have a viral infection. And these people will often be shaking, they will get chills, they will get high fever, their white blood cell count will increase. So people that have bacterial infections tend to show more serious symptoms than viral infections. And some of these complications can include, in addition to antibiotic resistance, they can include allergic reactions. They can have a massive impact on your body balance, particularly your good bacteria, because antibiotics can't distinguish between good bacteria and the disease ridden bacteria that are causing the issues. And what often happens is that when you take an antibiotic, you do have a disturbance in the natural balance of the gut flora, the bacteria in your gut, which actually keeps you going. And that can lead to other complications like diarrhea, or in women it can cause yeast infections as well. It can also cause gastrointestinal upset. It can cause sun sensitivity, believe it or not. And actually, it can interact with other medication. And bacterial resistance is really a big issue today. I'm sure many of you have heard of MRSA. But actually, people believe that they can get used to an antibiotic, that they build up an antibiotic resistance. And that's not the case. It's the bacteria that build up the resistance to the antibiotics. And the more an antibiotic is used, the more that resistance becomes evident. And actually, there are some strains of bacteria that are resistant to all known antibiotics. And this has become a big problem in this country, as well as other parts of the Western world. But in developing countries, some antibiotics are available without prescription, and they are having big issues with antibiotic resistance too. So if you are on antibiotics, just to wrap up now, take them as instructed by your doctor. Take the full course until all the medication is gone. Don't get tempted to stop halfway through just because you feel better. So take the entire course. Take that antibiotic only for the condition to which it's been prescribed. And never share antibiotics with friends or family. Don't take expired antibiotics because they may not actually work properly. And if whilst taking them you find that you have any new medical conditions that arise, then do contact your pharmacist. And in my opinion, once you've done a course of antibiotics, having a good course of good quality probiotics often helps rebalance that gut flora that might have been lost through the use of antibiotics. So we need to wrap up now. It's great to once again to say thank you to James for coming on the show.
Thank you ever so much, Neil. Really enjoyed it.
And if you'd like to follow the show's Twitter feed and Facebook feed, you've got all the details there. And after the last song, we have the Channel Radio News and Weather. So until the same time next week, stay happy, stay healthy, and I will catch you next Monday.
The heart is a blue. Space to rent in this.